from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
About to hit you with some NFL news of the day is, oh, we're getting closer and closer to football season. Saturday, we got college football for your eyeballs, and then it's just, we're off and running. We got football until February. How sweet it is. Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. Zach Wolchuk hanging out with Brian Broaddus, who is out in Oxnard. We'll have John Machota of The Athletic popping on with us an hour from now, joining Brian in the tent there, talking about Cowboys practice. Lucius Alexander with us, and of course, Carter Freeman running your video. Gavin Dawson, sick today. Give him some well wishes on the social media. Hopefully the general can get back very, very soon. And Eric will be back with us tomorrow. Took a couple of days off with the family. Did get a note. I know we've got Black and Gold B, our local Tolo Saints fan, rookie cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. He's apparently avoided a significant knee injury during the preseason game. Team believes he's got a good chance to still be ready to rock for week one against the Panthers. Played just 5 snaps for the Saints against the Niners before he left with the injury. But Kool-Aid McKinstry, 2 of the top corners in the draft from Alabama, Terrion Arnold, the other that I thought was the best corner in the class, ended up going to the Lions. Thought that was a steal. For Detroit, Kool-Aid McKinstry, another one. Boy, that dude could really fly. That was the one thing that stood out.
Yeah, you talk about Arnold going to the Lions. That was a trade made with the Cowboys at that spot.
Yes, sir.
The Lions are like, listen, we'll give you a third-round pick. We'll way overpay this. But if you think about it, look at that third overall pick, that third-round pick might have netted you your starting center.
Damn right it did.
So just to drop back there a little bit, you might have got the guy that will be your center hopefully for a long time.
Salvage the whole night for me, because you know I loved Graham Barton. He goes to Tampa Bay. Early returns are he's having a hell of a camp, and then you end up with a starting left tackle and Guyton moving back.
Graham Barton was a good player.
And then you get Beebe. I mean, this could end up being one of the Cowboys' great drafts. Is Leofau's looking good? Nealon's looking good. Let's just cross our fingers and hope.
Thomas is the only one that hasn't done anything, but he's been hurt.
Right.
The guard, yeah.
Well, Steelers, they're also going to have a rookie center. They place their starting center. This is your guy, Brian. Nate Herbig, he's on IR. He's got a torn rotator cuff. So the second rounder, Zach Frazier from West Virginia.
Some Zach Frazier.
Yep.
Yeah. Tough guy, really good foot athlete. You know, is probably not the most powerful guy. But I'll tell you what, when it came to like staying on his feet, second level, securing the down lineman and moving on to the next guy, his cat was pretty good for them. I thought that was a really, really good pick. And it's the Steelers. The Steelers were kind of in that mode with the Cowboys, weren't they? Like right around each other when they were picking players. Green Bay was there too. And every time Dallas picked a guy, that team would pick a guy and you would go, damn, that's the next guy I wanted. You know, if I couldn't have had this guy, I would have taken that guy. And those teams, Pittsburgh seems to do that a lot with me.
No, they did, because they went with Troy Fountainou, the offensive tackle from Washington. He's banged up right now.
Yeah.
But
didn't they also get our North Carolina State linebacker?
They did, Peyton Wilson. I thought they had one of the best drafts. So for Pittsburgh.
And it was right there. I thought they were behind Dallas, weren't they? Behind
they were right ahead. I think they were
ahead. So, yeah, it was. Every time they picked a player, I was just going, damn. And I was marking him off my board, and yeah. I'm like, geez, they're having a good draft. And like, my view, they had a really good draft. We'll see how it plays out for them.
They took quite a few players we really, really liked. Okay, hey, this is a great question for you, because you've seen, like, when you were in scouting, especially with Green Bay, like, you got to see a lot of these rookie quarterbacks. They were not – they didn't play. That was the whole thing. Yeah. You would draft a rookie, they'd sit, and then you'd give them some time to learn, develop, and then they would play. And Green Bay, quite frankly, has kept that model. They did that with Aaron Rodgers, and then they did it with Jordan Love. And we'll see with Love this year. I believe he's the real deal. Certainly struggled the first half, but was amazing the second half of the season. I think that's going to work out.
Did he throw a couple of interceptions the other day?
He did not have a good preseason game.
Yeah, it was bad.
He threw three. He did not look good. No. But Tom Brady was at the seminar Lucius was telling us about, where it was a who's who Michael Rubin's deal, and he was asked, you know, talking about the rookie quarterbacks, really kind of took a shot at everybody here in the NFL.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like in Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason and training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level, so they're just going to teach them where they're at.
It's an interesting take.
That's a really good take.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of sounds a little bit like back in the day guy. You know what I'm saying?
It does, but I mean, I do think there's value there.
But it makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
I think the salary cap has affected quarterback play. Because you have to, if you draft a quarterback, you have to play and figure it out.
And try and cash in on that rookie
window. You got to cash in. You got to cash in when, you know, I mean, I know that Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Snyder spent money on Matt Flynn. Mm-hmm. But what did he do? He saw that Russell Wilson was a better player. Look what the Cowboys with Dak.
Right.
They a fourth-round pick. They go on a run really out of necessity, what win 11 straight games, you know, with Dak at quarterback, Tony Romo available. They go, no, we're going. We still got our guy. We're going to go here. You know, I think the salary cap has made teams have to try quarterbacks earlier to see if they've got the guy, you know, and to take advantage of. Look what the 49ers did. They just got rid of Trey Lance. They gave up all that draft capital to give up Trey Lance. But how were they able to do it? Because they, you know, Brock Purdy comes in. Now he's, oh, wait a minute now. Here, you know, we got this guy for seventh round pick. He's playing better. Trey Lance can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to just capitalize while you have the potential. If you have a difference-making quarterback, you have to capitalize that on the first, especially if the guy's not a first-round pick. You know, you've got only 4 years. You don't have the fifth-year option to be able to, you know, you got 4 years to kind of figure this out. And I don't think the Dallas Cowboys, they might have an idea about Trey Lance, but after this year, he could go somewhere else. They made a trade for him and they had Dak and all that, but this guy could be gone.
Sure.
And, you know, they said, well, we tried, we did this, did that, you know, now he's gone. So time doesn't wait for anybody here. And I really do appreciate what Tom Brady's saying, because I think there's some validity to it. But I think the salary cap makes people do really weird things when it comes to quarterback play.
I think that's exactly where my initial reaction went. I agree with you in terms of, I mean, we talk about it, right? What are the models to winning a championship that we've seen recently? You either have to have that Hall of Fame bona fide stud like Brady, Manning, Mahomes, or Roethlisberger, or you're cashing in on building a really strong roster around a young quarterback that is on a rookie salary. And then now it's so year to year, we're seeing coaches now, Carolina, I mean, they're firing guys, they don't even make it through a year coaching. GM's the same way.
Right.
If they're going to draft a guy in the top 10, they're not given as much luxury of time to wait and see. They've got to put that guy out there and say, all right, is this our next franchise quarterback? Or else they're probably getting fired.
Yeah, you don't have a whole lot of time to be able to do this. You know, he talked about programs. You know, our guy down in Houston.
Stroud. And I don't think Bobby Slowick was dumbing down the offense for C.J. Stroud.
I don't think he was either, but this is what's interesting. C.J. Stroud goes to Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
Fields goes to the same school, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they're from the same program, you know? And you did one get coached more? I mean, to me, that's where, you know, where Tom talks about development and all this, that, and the other, was did our guy down there in Houston, did he pick it up faster than, say, what Fields was picking it up?
Sure.
Because you felt like it's the same.
No, that's a great point. They are. I mean, both
the same program.
Brian Day coached both of them.
Yeah. See, Tom Brady just happened to be better than Brian. When it came down to the end, him talking about being the third quarterback, and who was he with? Who were the quarterbacks? I'm trying to remember. Was Drew Henson part of this? I don't think Drew Henson.
Oh, in Michigan? Yeah, it was. It was Drew Henson.
Drew Henson. Brian Greasy was before that, I believe.
I think it was Henson and Brady were the two that, and Henson beat out
Chad Henne maybe involved in this? Was that maybe not that long ago?
Henne, it was after.
God, who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of all these Michigan dumb quarterbacks, and I can't get them in the right
Hutchinson?
Order. But anyway, he was just better. I mean, he was a better quarterback. Like Charlie Weiss is a coordinator with the Patriots, and you know, Tom could overcome bad coaching. Tom could overcome a lot of things, I think, that, you know, he talks about development and all that. Now, he had to battle his ass off just to be the starter at Michigan. But man, that just shows you that you know, did he get better coaching than some other places? I just think Tom Brady was better. I don't know if it was the coaching. I think just Tom Brady was a better quarterback. He's got that Joe Montana in him. He's got that it
yep.
that we talk about with these quarterbacks that a lot of these guys don't have.
Okay, so you mentioned the Russell Wilson thing. You've mentioned going with Brady. The Purdy thing, I think, was also, hey, I mean, credit. Look, they misevaluated. It was a bad move for the 49ers to go take Trey Lance.
They were talking about Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones was the rumor the entire time.
See, this is where Mike Lombardi was talking about this, whether you like Mike or not. You know, that's your business. Mike was talking. Mike's worked with the Shanahans forever.
Mm-hmm.
He's known the Shanahans. He knew what was going on in San Francisco. San Francisco got shamed out of taking Mac Jones. They like, well, you can't take Mac Jones third overall, whatever they, you know.
As an organization, you can't let people, the media or outside thought, shame you out of something.
It happens. I swear it happens. You know, we can't do that. Why not?
Yeah.
Why can't we do that?
You believe it, do it.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody, exactly. I wasn't believing the Sean Payton loves Bo Nix and that's his guy. I wasn't buying into any of that. And then they're on the clock, and what do? They take Bo Nix. And now it's looking really good. I mean, we'll see. They haven't played any real NFL games.
Right.
But, hey, if you
like... looks promising.
And that's my thing with Atlanta. And I know Eric and I went back and forth about this. You love a quarterback. I don't care that you just paid Kirk Cousins. I don't.
Yeah.
There's no more important position on the field than quarterback. And Atlanta hadn't had one since Matt Ryan left. And really, Matt Ryan wasn't very good the last couple of years there.
Yeah,
so,
he was broken down, yeah.
You know, that's a franchise that's thinking, man, if we had competency at quarterback, we're division champs a year ago.
Maybe they don't think that Penix gets to him.
Maybe they don't.
Maybe they're sitting there thinking like, okay, we're going to sit here and we're going to sign Cousins, And then all of a sudden you start, the draft starts, and you're like, we've got Penix, and you're just going, damn, he's going to fall to us.
Yeah, and you take him.
This guy, and you're going to like, well, man, we can't pass on this guy, right? What if Penix was the number one guy on their board?
Could have been.
You know, and they're like, damn, we're picking here, and we have a chance to get our best player on our board. I admire people that can do that. I really, really do, because there's a lot of teams that won't.
Yeah.
They'll go, we've got too many. We can't. No,
that's the position you do.
Take the damn guy.
Yeah, at quarterback, 100% you do it. Now, the thing is, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, when it comes to, okay, Raheem Morris is saying they're not playing Michael Penix Jr. anymore in preseason. They didn't play him in the second game. They didn't play him in the third game. So he's talking to reporters. It was actually, he was on with Up and Adams, with Kay Adams, as she's making her rounds. She asked him about the decision not to play Michael Penix Jr.
The message is not, I don't believe in Penix, I don't want a quarterback controversy, I believe so much in Kirk. It's just about, it sounds like it's just about injuries.
Yeah, nothing will be done on selfish thoughts of my own or trying to protect myself from a decision that we made together.
Well, protect the quarterbacks, too.
It's more about protecting our assets, mitigating injury with our guys, being able to do it the right way. We had those two joint practices versus Miami, which were awesome. We got a chance to get great reps against people. We got a big-time scrimmage coming up with our guys. We were able to play them in that first preseason game. Kurtz played a bunch of ball. I got two guys that I feel really good about playing that goes in the game and can execute for us.
I get not playing Kirk Cousins. If Kirk's your starter, I don't get not playing Michael Penix Jr. You'd assume he needs the reps. Yeah. Now, to your point, if they think Penix Jr. is better, don't be cowards. Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that, Atlanta. Now, hey, there could be value. You sit the rookie, you let him groom a little bit, then you go in. But Michael Penix Jr., if he is better than Kirk Cousins, and Atlanta really believes that, and that's why they don't want to throw him out there to avoid a quarterback controversy, don't be cowards. Because if Penix Jr. is the dude, no one's going to give a damn in Atlanta that you paid Kirk Cousins.
Yep. I totally agree with you right there. I don't know anybody in Atlanta anymore, so I can't ask the question. But I used to know guys there that would tell me that, yeah, that was our number one guy. I think they got, again, I mentioned it, I think they got surprised the guy was there. They took him. But you're right. Don't be a coward. If you think this guy can, that you need to start this journey now with this guy, start it. They're probably protecting. They're probably protecting. They're talking about protecting injuries and stuff. They're protecting feelings down there is what they're doing. These teams will hide. They're like, hey, I'm not going to practice. I don't want to show you guys this guy. Yeah, I don't want the media scrutiny on this guy. I think the Cowboys are doing it right now with Ezekiel Elliott. I know I've seen some clips with John Michaud and stuff who we'll have on here at 4 o'clock today. But to me, Zeke not playing, it's very reminiscent of what they did with Tyron Smith. Don't practice him, don't play him, and try and get him into the season and see if that works out for you.
All right, there's your NFL news of the day. We'll get back into some NFL conversation. Of course, 5 o'clock, we got the Finest coming up. But with the scheduling, we got Andrew Chafin of the Rangers coming up at 3:40-ish. So let's do a little Krusty's Corner next, shall we?
Yeah, we shall do some of that. And I'm going to bounce some questions off you, Wolchuk, so get ready.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We'll do that next.
All right, we got Andrew Chafin coming up next for our Rangers Players Show. But right now, which we usually do at about 3:40-ish here in the G-Bag Nation, let's throw things back out to Oxnard, the king of the crusties, the one and only Brian Broaddus for Crusties Corner, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey from grain to glass. Here he is, king of the crusties, Broaddus.
Thank you very much there, Wooly Bully. Appreciate that. Hope all our guys are doing okay, you know, with You know, I was a little, Dawson, he kind of talked about that, the whole thing with the throat problems and stuff like that. So you kind of felt like that was, I just totally forgot about people having that COVID stuff. You know, it's kind of like you just don't even, like for a while there, that was just such a part of our lives.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden someone has COVID and you're like, oh, wow, still have that, huh?
That's still a thing.
Still a thing. Wooly, I got some questions.
Do you have to quarantine? Nowadays with it, or is it kind of like...
I think so. My parents came back from... They took a trip to Italy about a month ago. They came back and they got it. So they quarantined for like a week until they tested negative.
Okay.
So it's just a matter when you test negative again, is that when you can get back in the game?
I guess. I mean, I think there's some people that probably just don't even say anything about it, and they just go about their everyday lives.
There's a side of me... And Lucius, I hate to admit this, when I was at work, you and I were working there at the station during that whole time, but there was a side of me, I got sick, and I'm like, the old crusty guy, I got a cold. I didn't think anything, I mean, I didn't feel any worse. It's one of those things where you probably had it, and you just kind of said, nah, I felt like this before, you know? Like, people were talking about COVID, and like, God, it's just knocking me on my ass. And it never knocked me on my ass, but I've been sick.
Did you have that first round of COVID was pretty tough? See, watered down. It's been stepped down on these streets now. But back in the day, well, that was a tough round of COVID.
See, when you and I were working, just it was you, Reggie, and I, Carter, I think, in the studio. There were a couple of times where I kind of felt like, you know, I don't feel like I have it, because everybody was describing it as, like you said, just kicking your ass. And I kind of felt like, yeah, I just got a cold. I'm okay. I'll fight through this thing. You know. Probably had it and didn't do anything.
Just kept going.
I'm like, oh geez, hope you don't get anybody sick. All right, Woolchuck, got some Cowboy questions for you. You do a good job covering this team, so I'm gonna ask you some questions about
it. Let's do it.
Deuce Vaughn making this football team?
Man, that is an awesome question. I think
Deuce, is that to buy you some time?
No,
to think about it.
I'm leaning. No, he's going to be a practice squatter. Okay. I think that they're going to have Zeke, Rico, and Malik Davis. Although, I will say, Deuce showed a little bit more than Malik Davis did for me personally with his running style, and especially if they do like Deuce as a receiver, I think I would go Deuce over Malik. But this goes back to they were kind of hyping up Malik Davis a week ago. Was that just fluff, or do they actually really love him? I'm going to just buy that they actually do love him. And I think Deuce Vaughn, with how little he's done so far in his NFL career and the size, the fact he was a sixth-round pick, that might be a guy you can have clear waivers and bring back as a practice squad player.
I think it's so unfortunate. The things that we saw during OTAs and minicamp, they look like they had a clear plan for him. the backfield stuff, the slot stuff, all those things. It looked like to me that they were thinking about, okay, we got some things we need to figure out and we can do it. Him getting hurt out here, I think that killed any kind of momentum he was having coming from OTAs. And so is Malik Davis your third back then?
Yes.
Okay. So you have him over Royce Freeman in that regard, right?
Yeah, personally. Yeah, just because they were talking up Malik. And I thought Royce Freeman ran the ball very, very hard. But I don't know. There's not a difference to me between what Royce Freeman's bringing you and Zeke. You got to choose between the two.
Maybe a little bit more quickness. Maybe a little bit more quickness now.
Yeah, with Royce?
With Royce,
I agree. But they're not going to cut Zeke. And
no,
that,
they're not.
That ultimately
not.
Might
they're
be not. The dude that you need to.
Not. Has Jalen Cropper played himself off this football team?
Ooh, yes, I think so. And I didn't know that Jalen Cropper would really have a chance to make it because I think that the five spots are spoken for. Now, if they go six, then he was going to fight for a spot. But I think you think
Ryan Flournoy's the fifth?
I think it is going to be CD because I think CD's back week one. It's Cooks, it's Tolbert, it's Brooks, and Turpin. Those are your five. And I think Flournoy would be the sixth because they drafted him. They like their draft pick. So if they kept six, I think it would be Flournoy. And Cropper might be a guy, again, that they try and bring back on the practice squad. But that fumble was a huge thing for him. He could not afford to do that. And he had every chance to step up, and he did not make the most of it.
Do you feel like, though, that now the receiver position for the fifth spot is still open with guys like Billy Johnson, Cropper, those kinds of guys, or is it you think it's a shut deal?
I think it's a shut deal. I think the five that I mentioned are the five that are going to be on the team.
Okay. At tight end, what if I told you that Luke Schoonmaker is the third tight end of this on this list?
Music to my ears. I mean, it took a week of practice. I was like, John Stevens is your number two tight end. The question I had would be the blocking, and he blocked pretty darn well the other night. So
yeah. Schoonmaker wasn't bad on some of the combo stuff that they did.
Yeah.
You know.
And Schoonie will be on the team. I mean, as your third dude, fine
okay.
with me. But I like Stevens.
If he was if he wasn't a second round pick, would he be on this team?
I think that he's still shown more than Brevin Spanford, which is disappointing because I thought Spanford would have a really good chance.
I had a lot of hope for Spanford, but I think the fate's been sealed for him as well. I totally agree there. What if I told you that this team is thinking about maybe using TJ Bassett offensive tackle some?
I would be shocked, and I heard you say that this morning with Sean and RJ, but what – the hell. They've tried him basically now at every single position, center, guard, and now it would be tackle, and I get it. They've got no depth. With Chuma Edoga out, Josh Ball can't play tackle. Awesome Richards is the dude they should be playing more. Willetsko played the entire game, bless his heart.
Yes.
And you had a promising report on him, so maybe he's making strides there. Probably a right side dude, though. I don't know that you want him on the left side.
Yeah.
So this could just be, man, we don't have any options. We need to get somebody that can at least suit up and give us some snaps against the Chargers.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's the same way. When he was out there working in the mock game, I was sitting there thinking about they don't want to put Matt Willetsko out there another whole game. They just don't want to do it. So we've seen TJ Bass play tackle before in college.
Yeah, I
right?
mean, yeah.
So yeah, maybe this is one of these things they're doing it out of necessity. But all of a sudden, if it turns into like, well, man, he wasn't terrible out there. That all of a sudden, is that an encased glass break kind of a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you need an emergency? All right. Do you feel like that they're done bringing in defensive tackles?
Ooh. I mean, look, I love the Jordan Phillips edition. Ultimately, no. I think that's a spot that they're going to be hunting all year long. And I mean, Linville Joseph's the name that I've kept throwing out there. You know, I know Paul Gunther's got a history there. So does Mike Zimmer.
Like week two, I believe.
But I think that you're on to something with that. Like, that made a ton of sense where if you sign the veteran, it's a guaranteed deal. I think week one, you see what you have. You've at least got Phillips and Osa now that you know can line up and give you good football. We'll see about Mozzie in the rotation. What do they want to do with Golston? Justin Rogers, the rookie, could give you a little something. He's impressed, I think, when we got to see him out there at practice. But that's certainly one, especially if there's an injury, they're going to have to keep adding to that defensive tackle spot.
What if I told you that Albert Huggins has a chance to make this football team?
Oh, man, a week ago, I would say you're crazy. Are you kidding me? Why didn't they cut him after he knocked over that coach? But he was surprisingly pretty damn good when it came to the game against
the Raiders. this is the reason why I think he has a chance, just for what you just said. They didn't let him go. They could have got rid of him when they needed all – when they were hunting roster spots. They kept the guy around. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything with him. So that tells me something, that they maybe wanted to give him more of a look. I know he played pretty well the other day for you, though. And you're trying to kind of figure out, though, your backup three. I know Jordan Phillips has played some three technique stuff. That's kind of what he is. I think he's going to do some three, but he's also going to play some one technique. So they're still hunting guys there. Have we seen the last of Fajoco?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I threw this your
Could
way.
Could you put him and Eric Scott in that kind of that role?
Yeah, and I was wondering, like, okay, is there any way you could package, you call up Washington, you say, here's Eric Scott Jr., here's Junior Fajoco, you know Dan Quinn loved him, can we get back somebody? You know, can you get back Ridgeway, who you cut, that Mike McCarthy was part of the drafting for? I mean, Ridgeway, I think bigger body might fit what Zim wants to do. Is there a running back that you could get? I mean, we've seen Washington and Dallas make some trades before. You've obviously got a lot of connections. Joe Witt Jr., defensive coordinator. Maybe they've got a plan for those two guys. But, yeah, I think those are two players, that old Dan Quinn regime, that are in danger of not making the squad.
All right, my final thing with you here. I think I'm right on time, right? Are we good on time right
now? Fantastic on time, yeah.
Okay. Let me know if it's because I'm different with the clock. I don't want to mess up our next guest.
You probably got another minute or so.
Okay, real quick then on this. I've got it down to the final cornerbacks.
Okay.
How would you handicap this group? Israel Mukwamu, Andrew Booth, and then Keeman Hall.
I'm a big Hall fan, but I think Booth, with the trade, they're probably going to have him. I'd probably go one Booth, two Hall, three Mukwamu. I think they know what Mukwamu is at this point, and the fact that he's not getting more run, it speaks volumes to me. Like, that's a guy that happened with Nashawn Wright. You've been here. We've seen you. I was surprised he didn't get more playing time last year after how he played against Tampa Bay in the playoff game by moving inside and in the slot. I think he needs to stay at corner. I don't like the safety corner stuff. I think he's a corner. So he might be in danger.
Let me throw some numbers at you real quick before I leave you on Mukwamu's game. 50% of his throws were his coverages were tight window throws. His average separation on his guys was 1.9 yards. There were four targets, zero receptions. Hall, 13% tight window throws, 3.2 yards of separation, 63% catch on him. Booth, 25% tight window throws, 2.7 yards of separation, 58% catch on him. The metrics told you that Mukwamu played a better game than those other two guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Izzy's going away. I think he's going to get more opportunity. I think the last cornerback spot is up for grabs, and those are the guys I think are kind of
all
playing.
All three fighting for that one spot?
Yep.
That's a juicy one heading into that game against the Chargers. All right, let's get into the Rangers Players Show, brought to you by Golden Chicken Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who is your beneficiary? Andrew Chafin, one of your newest Rangers, joins us in the nation next. Standing by for Andrew Chafin, our Rangers Players Show guest. If the Rangers get a win last night over the Pittsburgh Pirates, they've won two in a row, 4-3. Rangers get the dub. That was after Dane Dunning had to leave the game early due to some exit velo problems. But two at-bats, two home runs for Corey Seager. Hits his 27th and 28th of the season. And Rangers able to get that victory. And we'll see if they're able to go get their first series win. Really be their second since the All-Star break if they're able to get a win tonight.
Yeah, the White Sox, huh?
Yeah.
I think it's really, if you look at the Rangers, it's just really unfortunate. The schedule they didn't get off to a great start. They stayed around 500. And even if they were playing really, really well, we would talk about the games or the series that they had to play after the All-Star break with those opponents. And we would have been, man, if they could just survive this. I, for a team that's kind of scuffling along a little bit, there were some tough series for them to have to deal with. Yankees, Boston, Twins, you know, that wasn't easy at all. That really wasn't.
Segment, of course, brought to you by Frankel & Frankel and Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Yeah, I was listening to KNC talk about this earlier. Like, when did it go wrong?
Yeah.
And Mike did bring up, obviously the injuries have been a huge thing the entire season, but they went on that road trip, and then they go ahead and what ends up happening is they have that doubleheader, right, against Oakland, and then they get swept by Colorado.
Yes.
And they had a winning record going into Colorado.
And Colorado had won 9 games at the time.
Them and Chicago, worst teams in Major League Baseball, right? Yeah. So then you get swept, and you're thinking, what the hell happened here? And then Simeon also kind of went on a bad downward trend, and ever since then they just have not played winning baseball. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a tough deal when it comes to, of course, hey, what hasn't really gone wrong this year, but if you want to pinpoint a certain spot, I thought Mike brought up, hey, that is a time that you can look at on the schedule. Things have not quite been the same since then.
No, the Colorado, I just remember the Colorado, that you're right about the series in Oakland, and there was that doubleheader, and then, you know, and you're thinking like, boy, they're going to make some hay here. And then they had, I believe they had a pretty good series against the A's. And then the trip moved on to Colorado, and it's just like, it was just awful. And never since then, you're right. But there's some things when you start to have, when you have a bad season, you have to do, it's self-reflective. You have to go in there and say, okay, what did we do? Yeah, there's so many things you can draw from, because you did win a World Series. You did have this, you know, this championship moment. And now you're thinking, okay, let's see if we can do, and things change. Never, seasons are always different with everything, but then all of a sudden now you're sitting there and you're like going, man, we cannot point our finger or put our finger on really what is the main reason that they're having the struggles.
Standing by, we'll get Andrew Chafin on here in just a moment, but you're right. And I mean, the bullpen has not really been a huge issue. There's been moments, of course, as there will be, but it was like a year ago we were talking, oh, the bullpen, but the bullpen's been pretty damn strong for the majority of the season.
If you could get the thing to the eighth and the ninth with a lead, the Rangers don't ever play with a lead anymore. They just don't. It's very, very rare that you see the Rangers play with a lead. So, yeah, that's something I think that when they look back on the season, that would be the issues that I think would happen, yeah.
All right, about to jump into the Rangers Players Show, brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary? As we're about to be joined by Andrew Chafin, one of your newest Texas Rangers and bullpen addition at the deadline, and he is with us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Andrew, how are you, sir? So how's Texas been so far?
Yeah, so far so good. A little bit hot, but I don't mind sweating, so I'm having fun.
So with the heat, do you think about ever getting rid of the hair and the stash?
No, actually, no, I'm not worried about it. I never thought about that.
As you shouldn't, dude. You are rocking that thing. Is that number one when people see you out in public, they ask you about the mullet and the mustache?
I think that's my giveaway, and that's how they realize who I am. If I cut that off, I could just slip through the crowd and nobody would have any idea.
Andrew, I understand that you're quite a connoisseur of farming equipment and things like that, and tractors and stuff. What's your prized possession, if you had to say, of your machinery? What's the piece of machinery you're the most proud of?
Oh, I just picked up a Cat 320 last year. It's like a 55,000-pound excavator. But then I also just picked up a new D3 this year that I haven't really had a chance to run too awful much. So one of those two.
Would it be, okay, when you get on these excavators and stuff like that, is it something, is that trial by error, or do you kind of have a plan for how to use that? I mean, you can't just jump on it and start moving stuff around. But do you ever once in a while do something you're like, oh, damn, I shouldn't have done that, or, you know, or I'm doing this the right way now?
Well, what I've been doing over the last handful of years is, I like to call it research. My wife says I'm wasting time on YouTube, but there's some channels that I watch, and instead of, paying attention to the drama BS of the channel. I'm like watching how they do certain jobs, why they do it a certain way, so I can learn how to be most efficient when I go to do the same stuff myself.
So what's kind of a day in the life for you outside of baseball then?
Well, in the off season, I usually get up, I don't know, no later than 4:30, go out to the shop for a couple few hours, work on whatever project I got going in there at the time, and then come in, help with the kids in the morning, and then go back out and start moving dirt, dropping trees, whatever we're getting into that day.
Andrew, can you weld?
Yes.
Okay, that's another skill that I don't think I'd be any good at, though. How difficult is it to be a good welder?
Well, a good welder or like a farmer caliber welder?
Okay, so you're, okay, the farmer guy, are you just putting stuff back together then that gets busted up? Or are you making fence posts or gates, or what's your welding then at the farm?
Oh, I mean, last year we welded up one of the the hay wagon broke. But I mean, I've welded the aluminum boats back together. I've built stuff out of that, and I don't know. I've always said if it breaks, I can fix it. If it works, right, I can break it.
Well, outside of throwing a baseball really well, what would be the one skill that you're most proud of?
Ooh, I kind of have to sum that up and be like, I'm pretty decent at everything and not really great at anything, but I can fix and do just about anything that needs done.
Is there one thing that you haven't been able to get good at skill-wise that you really want to get good at?
Ooh, time management.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. You get that. Andrew, do you fish?
As much as I can, yep.
Okay, are you a guy now? Do you fly fish, or you spinning reel with open reel? How do you? What kind of equipment do you use?
Well, it depends on what we're going for. But if it was up to me, we'd be out on my John boat and going out catfishing deep holes of the river. Post up, throw out some live bait, sit back and see what hits.
Okay, catfishing now. Are we noodling then? Are we a guy that's going to jump in there and stick our arms in the holes, in the catfish holes, and pull them out?
I ain't scared to do it, but I won't do it until after I retire in case there's a snake up in that hole or something, and it's not worth the risk.
Do you ever worry about gators or anything like that? You're talking about snakes, but you ever worried about any other creatures when you're out there the waist deep in water?
No. I'm in Ohio, bud. We don't have anything to worry about.
I got you.
There you go.
Here, I don't get out as much as I can. I stay on a boat in water, but don't know.
All right, gotcha. So I'm seeing, Andrew, that your nicknames are Big Country and the Sheriff. Does anybody actually refer to you by Big Country or the Sheriff?
Your kids in the stands, basically.
Do you like those nicknames?
No. I don't really care. Just call me Andrew, call me Chafin. It doesn't matter.
So when you get traded to the Texas Rangers, I always wonder, as a big leaguer, what goes into all that? Like, how challenging is it all of a sudden you're traded mid-season, now you've got to go ahead and you've got the family, you're moving to a different place, new organization, you got to get reacclimated?
Now, the baseball side of it's easy. You show up, you're just putting a different jersey on, doing the same job. So, in a nutshell, that's the easy part. Hard part's when I got to explain to my children, well, I'm not going to be able to see you for a while, and I got to go to Texas. And they're like, what's Texas?
Yeah.
But... yeah, no, I mean, just the family side of things is the hard part. The baseball, that's the easy side of the transition.
Well, so, how are things, though? And this, we've heard nothing but positive things about that locker room you're in, that clubhouse and all that. Guys really accept you and been good to you, gracious to you as you're now on the team?
Yeah, I mean, going from Detroit, where I was one of the oldest guys, to being here where I feel like I'm middle of the pack, if not younger, It's nice to be around guys with the same maturity level, if you will, mm-hmm. same interests, same thought processes on things. So, for me, it's been amazing coming over here. The guys have been great, and I've had a lot of fun.
Hey, Andrew, when I was I'm a much older guy. I'm like 60 years old, and when I was growing up as a kid in the 70s at baseball games, they used to have farm and ranch night. So they'd bring like cows out for milking and egg toss and stuff like that. Would you like to see? I think you would have a great advantage at farm and ranch night to be a participant in that. Would you like to see maybe Major League Baseball bring those things back, where they bring cows out there and do stuff like that with animals?
I mean, it'd be something fun to do and get the fans a little more involved, but I'm here to pitch.
Yeah. I got you.
So Friends in Low Places is your walk-up song. What went into that decision? Because it's a banger, of course, gets the crowd going.
Well, it's a funny story behind this. When they asked me in Detroit when I got there this year, what song do I want? I said, I don't care, pick something good. And that's what they picked.
Wow, so you didn't even pick that one.
Here, they said, what's that?
You didn't even pick that one.
No, it's just it kind of fell into my lap, I guess.
I love that. Okay, before we let you out of here, we've been asking everybody that joins us every week. Now, this one's a little bit unfair because I know you've only been here for a limited time, but Jared Sandler, who handles the pre- and post-game show duties for us here on The Fan, he is describing one of your current teammates, and listening to his description, I'd like you to guess which teammate of yours you think he's describing. Here's the audio for you.
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
Okay, what?
We'll play it for you one more time. Which fellow teammate do you think is being described here?
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
Robertson.
That's a really good guess. That is not the correct answer. We will let you know when we see and talk with you in the future what is the next answer. We can play that back for you. But thank you so much, man, for taking the time to join us. Give him hell out there. We'll be pulling for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're the man. There he goes. Andrew Chafin joining us here. Man, how about that? You get to luck into Friends in Low Places as your walkout song?
How about that? I get to give him some Pluckers wings, too, by the way.
Dude, we got give him some of those wings.
We gave him a $100 gift certificate for joining us today. We got eight of those Pluckers in the DFW locations. Do you always feel like it's kind of a dangerous game to play it with new players when you do that audio?
I was debating like if we should even do it, but we did it with Carson Kelly. And honestly, I kind of like the awkward interaction with
him. I kind of feel like that he doesn't give a damn.
He doesn't. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he was so happy to like hang up with you and I after that interview.
He doesn't. And the last
I'm asking
really
about farm
do,
and ranch night.
I want to go catfishing with the man.
Yeah, I do too.
I did not want to talk baseball with him. I'm like, let's talk about anything.
I had no baseball questions for that man.
Besides baseball.
If you know how to move dirt around with a big old tractor thing, I'm kind of like interested in what you're doing. Yeah.
Is this man contracting on his time off? What is he doing? Like to move that much dirt around?
I think Lucius, he plays baseball so he can buy equipment. I think that's what
he just
does.
Goes in his field and makes something.
He like pitches baseball.
Make a little softball area right here. Yeah, I need a little volleyball situation.
Yeah. We have a party here tonight.
Huge.
Yeah. He's got some big equipment there. They got some. Yeah, they're doing it right.
Big equipment. Yeah. All right. Let's catch up with our buddy John Machado of The Athletic. Jerry's been talking out there. What are John's takeaways from that? And, of course, the practice. That's next here in the Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.